Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast through parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our associate pastor, Reverend Jeffrey Wendelowski, and is titled, When Fear Has Done Its Damage, It's Christ Who Stands Where Sinners Have Misused Their Place. It's based on the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 2. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
You may be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 63. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness of the house of Israel that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to his abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior. And all their affliction, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people, when he was he who brought them up the sea with his shepherds, his flock, where he was put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go out at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make themselves an everlasting name, who led them through the depths. Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that did not go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, "A voice shall be heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. That was what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord.
O Christ.
The congregation may be seated as we continue with the hymn of the day, "This Little Babe, So Few Days Old." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. These words recorded in the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Thus far the text. You may be seated. It's a joy and delight to welcome you again this day, on this, the first Sunday after Christmas. And as you, I guess, would probably think, that while we're still within the 12 days of Christmas, yes, there are 12 days of Christmas, if you didn't know that, which lead up to the Feast of Epiphany, which we will celebrate 2 days early next Sunday, because it usually moves right around to whatever Sunday is the closest, so we can obviously celebrate it. But you would think that throughout the time of Christmas, we would have all of these joyous texts about the birth of Christ. Well, the lectionary that we use doesn't quite do that. And as you can imagine, as I just read, how more of challenging of a text to hear immediately after Christmas we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, Jesus, who is the Christ. And then we have this text where Herod, who was tricked by the wise men, becomes mad, he becomes angry, becomes hot, all of these things, and he sends and kills all of the male children in Bethlehem who are 2 years old and under, based on the time that he had been told by the wise men, or the time that he had ascertained by the wise men. So here's one of the things that we get. Christ's incarnation, where he's born in a manger in Bethlehem, what happens? Well, you would think, as the angels announced on Christmas, that there would be peace and goodwill toward men. Yes, certainly true, but for those around, what happens? Having this Christ child, especially if you're somebody who's in power and somebody you think who's going to probably overthrow you at some point, what happens? You become just honked off. You're not happy. You want to get rid of this child. And so it is that Christ's incarnation, in this sense, especially related to Herod, what happens? Well, his incarnation and what he's being told from the wise men disturb the peace for him. Because why? Well, because it threatens Herod's power. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who's in power. And he hears about this little king born right around where he is. And what happens? He feels threatened. And so Herod panics. And Herod comes out swinging. He launches all of his, you want to call them, missiles. He sends people out to kill these young children. He comes out swinging because his place, his authority, his vocation as king is exposed as that which is, well, fragile. Because think about it. The wise men tell him that what? The wise men say that there has been a king who has been born. They're going to find this king, this Christ child. And you know what? Herod just does not like that. And a lot of times, if you think about it, well, what does any of this have to do with us? Yes, this sounds sad. Yes, this sounds depressing. Yes, this pops the balloon a lot of times of our Christmas joy. But what? When in and of ourselves, when our place, when our vocation, whatever our role is in our life that God has given to us, even when our authority feels like it is being threatened, when it feels like it is being cornered by someone or something, as it was for Herod, well, the fear of what might happen to that, the fear of what might happen to your role, to your position of power, to your place, to your authority, well, it doesn't kind of just cower in the corner in fear. No, instead, like Herod, it comes out swinging. We're not happy about it. And we cling a lot of times to control. We want to control, I think if we're all honest, we want to control kind of just everything in our lives. Life would be a lot easier if we would be the ones who decide this happens, or that happens, or this is how this is going to go, and so on and so forth. And we could just control everything for ourselves, but also that we can control everything for everybody around us so that they would all just do whatever it is that we think they should be doing. And we cling to this control because we're afraid a lot of times of what happens if we were to lose control, to lose power, to be thrown off of our vocation, to be thrown off whatever it is we think we need to be doing, and we become afraid. And whether this is our role in our own family, as parent, as child, as grandparent, as aunt, uncle, godmother, godfather, what have you, fill in the blank with whatever, or even our role in the church, or even our role in our own workplaces, this feels insecure, and we get rocked side to side. We too come out fighting. We pull out the sword, and we come for whoever is trying to disturb our peace, is trying to take what it is that we think we should be doing from us. And we often justify this behavior, justify this coming out with the fist, coming out swinging, etc. We justify this as this is our responsibility. We have to do this. But often, it's fear. And it's the fear that makes us respond like who? Makes us respond like Herod. But here's the thing. God does not respond to Herod how? God doesn't respond to Herod by giving him the stamp of approval saying, yes, this is great. You've killed all of the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. Good job. But you know what? You didn't get my son. No, he doesn't endorse what Herod's doing. Instead, he places his son under this abuse, which is why the angel has to come and sends the Holy Family, what we call the Holy Family, into flight. So I mean, think about it. What does the angel say? Behold, as Matthew records, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And what does he say? He says, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child. And then what does Matthew have in there? To destroy him. He wants him dead. He does not want any threats to his power. But nonetheless, the Holy Family flees, but Christ does not overthrow Herod on the spot. As we see later, Herod dies, and behold, the angel appears again in a dream to Joseph, and then gives him further instructions. But in the text, Christ does not immediately overthrow Herod on the spot. Instead, what happens? Christ is submitted to a world that is ruled by fear, a world that is afraid and causes people to act in the way that Herod does so that he may later be submitted to the cross for who? So that he may be submitted later to the cross for our salvation. And it's there on the cross, that what happens? It's there on the cross that God judges sinful pride, sinful power, so on and so forth. And because of his son, he redeems those who repent of their sins, not by force, but by granting the forgiveness of all of their sins. And so it is that Christ himself, bears the abuse of this power. Because you know what? He's the Son of God. You think about it. What would you and I naturally think? Well, he should just be able to hang out in Bethlehem and there should be no problems at all. Well, instead, what happens? Christ bears this abuse of power so that poor, miserable, wretched sinners who have strayed in their vocations may have what? May have the forgiveness of all of their sins for his sake. I mean, think about it. What's preached? What do you hear about every week? Well, you hear about Christ crucified for you. That is what is known among us. And think about it. Why does Christ hang up on the cross here? For the same reason. Christ is the center of our faith. He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the one that we form our life around as the church. And so it is that Christ bears this abuse of power so that all of us who in our daily lives stray and seek power and pride and all of these things in our own vocation may have the forgiveness of all of our sins. So what do we make of all this? So when fear has already done its damage, it's Christ. It's none other than Christ that stands where sinners have misused their place. And he takes on and bears that guilt himself. And he bears it on the cross. And because he has carried it, where? He didn't just carry it in the flight of the Holy Family, but what happens? But because he carried it to the cross, you're not left to just defend yourself. But instead, where are you left? You are free to live in your vocations. Live in your vocations where God himself has placed you in all of these roles. Father, mother, child, godparent, member of the church council, all of these things. You are free to live in these vocations, free to live in your occupations where you work and with your family. And you're free to live how? You are free to live forgiven for Christ's sake. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our recessional hymn, A Great and Mighty Wonder.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Go in Christmas, peace and joy. Amen.